As you know, I spent a couple of days in hospital, not this week past, the week before. And the doctors thought that I had had a stroke, but by God's grace and the prayers of the anointed, they picked up that I'm suffering from vertigo combined with migraine. And I believe there's quite a few of us here in the church that knows what vertigo is and what it brings about. So I really want to thank God for that. But in that time that we are down, it's also time that God pours into us. Amen. I said to somebody last night, I was so blessed during that time. I felt like I can't remember the prophet in the Bible that was fed by the ravens. You read a story like that, somebody? Hallelujah. I felt that I was fed by the ravens. To be honest with you, because I laid in hospital and I wake up and there's either my wife, Susie, Michael Dabina, or who else was there? There was four people that came there, and every time I woke up, one of them would be there, and I would just get food, and then close my eyes, they disappeared. And when I open again, there's somebody new, and they feed me, and then I close my eyes, and they disappear. I felt like I was fed by the ravens. And during that time, I felt that God was pouring into me. Hallelujah. And many a times when we are down, we think, oh, Lord, we can't be sick now. We can't be down. That is sometimes God's way of saying, whoa, stop. I want to pour into you. Hallelujah. This is the time of rest as well. The way God pours into you. Is God pouring into you right now? Hallelujah. Thank you for that. Friends, I'm always excited, as I said, during Christmas time. Now, I just want to evoke some childhood memories this morning, if I may. I come from Africa, as you know, South Africa. And the title of the sermon this morning is How to Prepare for a Special Occasion. How to prepare for a special occasion. Now, Christmas in our household was a special occasion. Because over Christmas, that was the only time that our family actually got extra money. That my grandmother or my grandfather, because I lived with them, either got a bonus or got paid for the Christmas holiday. So I'm not sure if anybody can identify with that. But so Christmas time would be a time where we do the same thing every year. And guess what we used to do? We used to get this 20 liters of paint and paint the kitchen and paint the lounge and paint everywhere where the guests will be. And then my grandmother or granddad would buy a piece of, what do they call it here? Novilon. Is it Novilon? Vinyl. A roll of vinyl, and we would put it on the floor in the kitchen. Every year that would be the preparation. And we had a little small tree, and between myself and my grandmother, we would trim the tree. And over the years, the little tinsel wasn't as it used to be anymore. The tinsel was only now and then on the little string, and that used to make me feel like it's Christmas. We used to take tinsel and drape it on the wall, and just make it look different. Any of you did something similar to that? Sister Glenda, tell us. Mm. Wow, in the pudding. Mm. 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 Amen. Anybody else, a childhood memory that you were part of preparing for Christmas? Sister Mary. Wow. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? What is it that you remember that you prepared for over Christmas? For the, amen. Peeling the vegetables. Your fingers are sore. Anybody else? What did you do to prepare for Christmas? Gigi? Amen. 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 Thanks, Gigi. Now, friends, 2020 has not been an easy year for many of us. What are you looking forward to over this Christmas period? What are you looking forward to? Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Amen. 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 Brother Dirk? What are you looking forward to, my brother? Tell me. Tell us. We want to hear. Spending the holidays with your family. Some of our holidays have been canceled because of the situations. Holiday not working. What are you looking forward to besides spending time with the family, reflecting on God's goodness? Are you just going to soak into some time that you can just enjoy the company of friends, that you can minister into their lives without preaching, just being present? We're going to be spending for the first, only the second time since we are here with some friends that we're not going to be preparing a big feast at home, but that we're going to be spending some time with some friends. And I'm actually looking forward to that, just being with them, allowing somebody just to bless you for a change. Or you just being a blessing to somebody for a change. Now, the reason why I'm asked all these questions, friends, is because I've preached on the sermon a couple of times already. And it's found in Matthew chapter 25 that Rebecca, so thank you, Rebecca, for reading that to us this morning. The story of the 10 virgins. Now, this story, the Bible teaches me, is a parable. Now, if you can go... when you get a chance to read what Mitch Cruz says about it, what is a parable? Now, this is some Hebrew and some Greek intertwined here. A parable means to throw alongside. A parable is an earthly truth thrown alongside a spiritual truth. A key component of Jesus' parable is to understand that the bridegroom's delay was expected. An earthly truth thrown alongside a spiritual one. Now, friends, the Bible teaches me so clearly that there was 10 of them chosen. Now, I know I preached on this before, but every time I read it, something new comes up. Something new comes, and I'm so excited to as I'm reading through it, and I'm just pondering on the word, and something new jumps out. One of the things that jumped out at me over the last couple of weeks as I'm preparing on this was 10 of them were chosen with one mandate. What was that mandate? What was their the preparation, what was told to them, what was the brief? One mandate. And the mandate was to wait for the bridegroom to come. They had one job. One job. Now, the brief was not that you've got this job and this is what you do. The brief was, we are all children of God. We understand our culture. Now, reading the Jewish translation there, and some of our Jewish friends, Brother Michael, I'm not sure, would be able to tell us that weddings normally happened at night. Weddings normally happened at night. So your brief was to wait for the bridegroom. When does a wedding happen? At night. So what do we do at night? We prepare with our little lamps. Amen? So some of us, when we go from point A to point B, we take enough oil in our lamps to from here to point B. But now, that was not the brief. The brief was for you to wait. The brief is, the mandate is to wait. Understanding that the word there is to wait because it is customary, as I read to you there, that the bridegroom is naturally late. Now, in our custom today, I've done quite a few weddings, and it is normally the bride that is late. It is normally the bride that is late, but here the Bible teaches us that the bridegroom was running late. And when somebody says, I'm going to be late, coming from Africa, they might be 3 hours late, they might be 3 days late. But they're late. So you do not know how long they're going to be. They're going to be late. So your preparation needs to be as such. I just want to say to you as this morning, by God's grace, that the 10 of them was not selected on looks. They were not selected on capacity, financial ability. They were not selected on what other criteria could we put in there, Rebecca? Educational status. They were not selected on status in the community. No. They were selected because they were 10 virgins. Pure. Pure. Now, many of us see ourselves as being pure by God's grace. But remember, not all of us understand the mandate that God has given us. Yes. We're sitting in church for many years, and you know what? We read scripture. And yesterday I had the opportunity in the morning and again in the afternoon to speak to some of our brothers and sisters just about how we read scripture and how we understand scripture. Now remember, when you read scripture, Brother Ibrahim, can I use you this morning? Amen. When you read scripture, my brother, you're not just reading scripture. Where do you live? In Box Hill. You're not just reading scripture from Box Hill. Amen? Brother Ibrahim is reading scripture. Where are you originally from? Iran. He's reading scripture with his Iranian mind, with his Iranian upbringing, with his Iranian understanding in Box Hill. This is how we read scripture. Am I right in my thinking? And you know what happens? We interpret scripture from there. So the 10 virgins, they were virgins, but they might have come from different backgrounds. And you know what happens? They interpreted like that. The mandate was clear, but it's in the interpretation. It's in the interpretation. I want to say to us as a church today, we might be children of God. We love each other, but we are different here. We are all from a different background. And that's, we need to respect that. We need to understand that. And to those whom much has been given, much will be required. Because those of us that has a better understanding of things, of life, of understanding, you should be the one that says, oh, let me meet you halfway or even three quarters of the way, because that is our understanding. But sometimes we feel that we are in a position a bit higher, and we like to step there and say, oh, are you coming? Are you coming? You said you'll be here an hour ago. The mandate was clear that they needed to wait. The church has been hearing that the coming of the Lord has been, Auntie Janet, Uncle Fred, can I use you? How long are you in the Lord already? How many years are you in the Lord? Maybe, Auntie Janet, maybe 60, 70 years? Many, many years. Amen. Tim, sorry? 65 years. Brother Tim, how long are you guys in the Lord? 75 years. Don't get involved in that conversation there, by God's grace. Friends, sometimes we're in the Lord for that many years. And you know what? We can be, we can still be open to be taught new things, to understand new things, to go and give that hand to that brother and sister and say, because I'm a bit mature in the Lord, allow me to bring you up. Amen? That is what God requires of us. The mandate is clear, that we are to wait in the Lord. The Lord's coming has been pronounced for 75, 85, 89 years, 100, 2,000 years. His coming has been announced. The Lord is coming. Be ye prepared. Even today. Even today, how many years later, the coming of the Lord is at hand. I listened to a brother podcast the other morning, and I was really blessed when he said, if you look at the situation in the world right now, it is evident that Christ's coming is not far. I'm paraphrasing now. It is evident that Christ's coming is not far off, my friends. Child of God, that ten virgins were sitting there. They were waiting and waiting, and I'm sure in their waiting, things were happening. They were living. They were excited about things. But you know what? Do not lose focus. No matter what happens around us, we've got to be focused on one thing and one thing only. The coming of the Lord is at hand. So right now, they're sitting there, and then suddenly, they hear this voice from the dark saying, the bridegroom is coming, very loudly. The bridegroom is coming. And then because we're now hearing the bridegroom is coming, we get up very slowly, because I'm sure that same word, that same voice said about an hour or two ago, about 30 years ago, that same voice said, the bridegroom is coming. And so we get up like we normally do, take our time, check our lamps. Oh, like we come to church, we're checking our lamps. And you know what? There was a rattling in the atmosphere. There was an excitement. The bridegroom was really on his way. And guess what? When we now get ready for the bridegroom to come, our house is not in order. We did not prepare enough. We did not have enough oil for our lamp. But Sister Mia, can you borrow me about a liter or two of oil? Unfortunately not. It is sad. When I read it, I got excited initially, but then I got sad. Because this five was ill-prepared. Now, I just looked at them and I'm thinking, what about their preparation went wrong? What do you think? What about their preparation? Did they not understand the brief? Were they inducted? Were they told, listen, guys, this is you need to be prepared on the 25th of December at 11 o'clock. This will happen. No, they were not. Child of God, you've got to be ready, because it could come at any time. Any time. Are you ready? Is your lamp? Now, I just took a mental picture of what a lamp would look like, a little jar with a wick. And they explained there in the, Mitch Cruz goes and explains what a little lamp looked like, how it was formed. I didn't want to go into that right now. But I'm just having this mental picture of what that lamp looks like. But do you know, we don't have lamps like that anymore today to be preparing. Our preparation is our hearts. Our preparation is making sure that you are in good stead with God. Not with people, not with the other 10, with the other 9. That your preparation is your relationship with God. That is what's required. It's not looking good. You can look as whatever you want to look like, as long as I know that your relationship with God is good. That is what's required of us. He's not interested in what your house looks like. Your heart is what is coming for. Your heart is what Christ is coming for. That is the lamp that you need to make sure is burning. There's an Afrikaans chorus that I love it, because when back in South Africa, when they start singing that, one of the older gentlemen in the church would just hum it softly during the service. And before long, that whole congregation goes on fire, because the song, direct translation is, keep your lamp burning. We learned a song in Sunday school. What was it called now again? I can't remember, but there was a song about it in Sunday school as well. I will remember it. But in Afrikaans is, and maybe Dirk will understand, and Samantha, hou jou vlam aan die brand. Keep your flame burning. Keeping our flames burning is this power, where we come and we pray together, where we come and we understand scripture together, where we come and we open scripture and we say, wow, what is this story teaching me this morning? What are you going to go out here in a couple of minutes time and say, what did I learn this morning? That my mandate was clear. It's the interpretation, how I interpret what God is requiring for me to do. That is going to be important. How you treat your neighbor is going to be important. How you love your enemy is going to be important. How you love your neighbor is going to be important, because that is what the story teaches me. It's not about the fact that we've got to wait. Waiting is not just sitting there and saying, yes, Lord, thank you for my salvation. No. Waiting on the Lord is doing what we're doing now. Coming together, encouraging each other, making sure that your neighbor is good. And friends, I got sad when the knock came, because now they ran around there to go and get their own oil. Make sure by the time when the Lord comes that you are ready. Because when those that are ready is going to go be allowed in, those that prepared well. And remember, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Rhema word. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. I want to say to you, and then the door was shut, and then the knock came on the door. Who is there? It's us. It's the five virgins. We just went to go fetch some oil quickly. Go away. We don't know who you are. Whoa, what? This is the house of God. I was waiting here for 3 days. I was prepared. I'm dressed. It doesn't matter, because you were not at the right place at the right time. I was sad because I'm thinking of all the preparation, the many years we spend in church, vacuuming here, dusting off here, doing things for God. And you know what? Our works will be as filthy rags in the kingdom business of God, because it's not about that. It's how your heart will be the day when the trumpet sound. Woo! The Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first. Hallelujah! And then it happens. Then it happens. Life. People, This book is the most up-to-date newspaper you will ever get. This is the most up-to-date newspaper. I want to challenge you this morning. Go back and read Matthew chapter 28. Ask God to interpret to you in your own mother tongue what he wants you to understand about being prepared, being ready, understanding the mandate is what God wants us to know this morning. May the Lord bless you as you continue to just open your heart and your mind. Now, I just want to read a couple of scriptures there, spiritual truths that comes from the Bible. I spoke on a few things this morning, and I just want to read some, not read some, but just quote some scripture here. Exodus 12, verse 29, 2 Peter 3, verse 9, and Revelation 12, 22. That you can go and read later. You can, it will be recorded, and so you can. It comes from Exodus 12, verse 29, 2 Peter 3, verse 9, and Revelation 22, verse 12. There was more scriptures that I included there, but you've heard it. I want to encourage you this morning that you must know that what is the mandate that God has given you as a child of God? What is the mandate that God has given us as a church? Do you understand that? Amen. Praise God. Father, this morning I give you all the praise and the glory. Holy Spirit, for your presence right here, right now. And Lord, 10 was chosen, but only 5 could enter. Was it because of an interpretation of the mandate? Maybe, maybe no. But Lord, you were always interested in the heart. Scripture teaches me that many was chosen, but only few will enter. May you have mercy on those, Lord, on us, that we prepare well to enter when that trumpet sounds. Bless us today as we go from here, Lord Jesus, to go back and ponder. Holy Spirit, may you be the after preacher of this word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.